he was so horrified at it because that was the wrong thing to do. And he deliberately called in, got over a press guy, and leaked it to the press. Now, in my view, let me say, and that's why I didn't much care for George Bundy's testimony, that sort of thing. But you know now, what is secret, what is not secret? But a man in government, where the hell is trust from? I mean, here, a president had made a decision to involve the lives of a lot of men, most of them not our own. And so some guy who's an undersecretary of state, and I know all this, good hearted guy, I wouldn't ask him, but for him deliberately to leak it to the press, which jeopardized the whole operation. It was going to be jeopardized anyway, it was leaking all over the place. But that sort of thing doesn't have to really burn your tail over. Where is honor and not happy anymore? Hey, did you know about that Bowles business?
Oh, I didn't.
He deliberately did it. There's no charge.
But you told me about it the other day.
He bragged later. He says, I stopped that. It blew. He says, I stopped it. I don't stop. Well, anyway, that's the kind of guy we don't want in this committee.
You've got people on that committee who's not worth a damn except for labor connections. Yeah. Right? He hasn't contributed, he never said it. He didn't bother. There's another fellow, John Wheeler, the Princeton fellow, who's a scientist, who's on the committee and very strict, very mild. But he didn't contribute a great deal. Kermit Gordon, Larry Norstedt. I wouldn't suggest Larry is the chairman of the committee.
I don't need to do the work.
He wouldn't do the work. He wouldn't do the work. He'd take it up and talk.
He likes it gone.
But I think he's got a little three pretty good.
But we got it. That's good.
I'm not going to say one thing more, but you mentioned about frustrated. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not a
mover. Oh, all right.
I just thinking it over. I spent enough time in this 12 years on this thing.
Sure.
And I give it a lot of them and give it a lot of vigor and strength, I think, over the years. But it's not my issue to see from here out. The other aspects of things that I'm talking about trouble me, preoccupy me. And at any point, I could be of any help in connection with this advance to this life. Let me know a special mission I can undertake or give a point, but I'm not talking in terms of government job. I'm thinking just that I want to preoccupy my thinking and my own energies to some other things rather than techniques of
let me tell you a concern that I have that you might put your mind to it. I would appreciate it. Frankly, talk to your friends in New York, movers and shakers. As a result of the foreign policy initiative of the last year, the trip to China and the follow-up from that, the trip to the Soviet Union with the arms control and all the uranium and all the other things and so on, the ending of the war in Vietnam, with everybody back with the 28th of March and so forth. As a result of all that, the United States is now going through, and it's reflected in the Congress, that usual post-war reaction. Well, thank God this is over. It's in spades. It's in spades for two reasons. One, because the war was so difficult and divisive. And two, because they say, gee, we're doing so great. The world must be safer. Now, the world isn't that much safer, as you well know. At the present time, we have to realize that the reason that our foreign policy initiative succeeded was that we were strong. We had never had a deal with the Russians of Vietnam in there with, let's say, a broken flush. But what we need to do is not, I don't mean by that we need an enormous arms buildup, and I don't mean by that we stay in Europe forever or with the present level and the rest. But I do say that this is the critical time. This year, with SALT II coming up, with MDFR coming up, and with the Europeans, with their weak infrastructure as far as government is concerned, led by basically, with the exception of these rather parochial political leaders, I think if the United States now cops up in terms of leadership, we're going to have all the time. I think the same is true with Asia. The Japanese at the present time, all of their fancy talk and the rest, you know as well as I, they are going to be on the losing side again. And the Japanese, therefore, they're coming to the Russians, they're coming to the Chinese, they're coming to us, and they're tied to us because of the economics. And of course, because we provide the shield. But again, where we are in the world is this, that very substantial cuts in the defense budget, frankly, any substantial cuts, I think would be disastrous to our foreign policy at this point. We have cut that and everything right now. And now. Second, cutting back in Europe, even on the basis that John McClellan suggested, he said, let's just bring out 30,000, could unravel the whole thing. If it's done now, it's got to be done in a multiple way. Now, I would hope that the establishment policy there, I understand their attitudes, many of them on the war and so forth, they thought we should have been ended sooner and retired and all that sort of thing. But the United States has got to continue to play a role in this world, and we can't play it without respect and without strength. And that lesson, I don't think many people are going to get there. I think this post-war reaction could be the worst thing that could happen to this country. We'll pay a terrible price. That's my
statement.
Do you?
And all this shibboleths, our friends at the council, what is the Russian influence in India? That they are the monopoly supplier of arms. And all the economic aid we give to India has not made up for the fact.
And also, when you look at Latin America, let's say something. Now, you can go through all this nonsense. In fact, the United States should not furnish arms to Latin America. All right, fine. Okay, we won't sell them. So the French do. All right, so what's the end? The point is that the military in Latin America, which is one of the few stabilizing forces, not really stabilizing, is the ones. At least we have no control. Look at Indonesia. Now, believe me, if we had maintained, as you well know, if we had maintained that minimal arms program in Indonesia at a time Sukarno was just kicking us all around the world, Indonesia today would be communist. 140 million people. It was the army that saved us there. The United States needed that kind of an influence in there. What I'm getting at is, take the Council of Foreign Relations, and I know the group pretty well, and I know, when I say I know the group, I know their attitudes, I think. And I know they'll cheer and holler about everybody that comes up. They all thought the China trip was wonderful. Isn't it great? President Nixon, that old anti-communist, shook hands with Joe, and I realize you're wrong all the time about communism. Bullshit. Our handshake didn't change his attitude about me or mine about his. But it was very important for other reasons, you will know. The same with Russia. My point is that we can make the world safer now. But it's only because the accident of history, as you all know, with the Chinese and the Russians, split. With that split, we have got now to play a strong role. And it's particularly important, and here's where Europe comes in. I think the whole European thing is going to require a vast amount of rethinking. A vast amount of rethinking in terms of how American interests can be served by, if they can be served by, a Europe united economically, not in a, shall we say, a cooperative way, but a confronting way with the United States. Now, they can't have it both ways. They can't say to the United States, look, we want to consult with you and all that sort of thing in terms of NATO and arms and defense and the rest. But economically, we're going to go our own way. We'll just build our barriers and go to hell. That doesn't work. And,
this is the greatest challenge for our statesmanship that we now face. How we will work out this new relationship with Western Europe. And I think it's in a precarious position. And this, as I said, preoccupies my thinking much more than I'd rather spend a lot of time thinking about. I went over to this Amsterdam meeting. I don't know just why. I think most of those international meetings here are set up, the Armadillos have been put there to watch speak. I'm going to go over there and talk to the last committee of leaders over there. But I've got very much in mind, because I see a good many of the old jurors that keep still coming through. And I've got very good contacts with the British. French are a little bit on the loose, as far as I'm concerned, but I have a feeling that we've got to have some high-level group thinking about this thing in terms of the new program, the new relationship, because if it drifts, it's going to drift away. The trend is going to be to the east. With a solid encasement of the GDR in the Soviet Union, with this agitation. limitation that now exists in Western Europe. You've got to have a new image of the United States and a new image of the partnership. One of the things that I think that that money is coming over here very soon, and I will talk to him about it.
Yeah, I was going to propose to you that.
Years ago, when I was out of office, he was doing that.
He's coming in to see me, and I was going to propose to you that I could pick it up.
You know, I fought under me all my life. He was Harvey's lawyer when he first got out of law school. He lived over here. He was an American citizen. And I had only two wars and everything else. And he's had his obsession. He couldn't have gotten anywhere. He's subsidizing, of course, and supporting on his United Europe. But he always fights shy of the concept of partnership with America. You talk to the others this time, look, money, you're only going to give them the same damn rash that you were in before if you don't stress this note. He's absolutely blind on this. He was so impressed with the strength of the United States and how weak Europe was against the United States. But now, an entirely different challenge that's emerging. And it's a new relationship that's got to be built up, and it's got to be built up with conscious effort. And he's on the wrong track, because he was talking about putting up some surcharges the other day against the United States. Good, God save us, the States and history. It doesn't make any sense. But he's been so obsessed with the success of his United Europe as he couldn't have gotten the first base of it. As we supported it throughout the very first place of subsidizing. And but he's gun-shy still the role the United States can play in Western. He's quite an entrenched in Frenchman when you cut him off his head.
Well, I've always wondered whether the media to go mad, they were arguing about the best method to fight the United
States. Yeah, that element.
Well, he used to be the big opponent of the gold.
Yeah, but I saw him.
His sisters and
all kids. They all didn't see many people, and
medication. Money, somebody from Manchester, I don't know if you see money, and I have to talk about it. And then Gaul is very ambitious, was it, to have me come over and see him. So I came over, and I briefly said, I'm spending some money. I said, yes. He said, what did he say about something? He said, he's wrong. Just like that, he's wrong. He told me what was right. But it was a fascinating day to see the two of them on the same day.
Well, this is a known period, it seems to me.
Right. If you could give us, for example, some thoughts as to where we ought to go. I mean, sometimes you can lob it in, because, believe me, we're not just going to react to events. We're going to try to shape events now. We must shape the events. And I think the problem of shaping the events in Europe, they are infinitely greater than they were after World War II. Then we were so